Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is our weekly America's Great Loop Cruisers Association Blog Radio. Steve is with us as usual, and I'm Janice. I'm the director. I'd like to introduce and thank our Admiral sponsors. They're so valuable to the association. We have Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and, of course, Skipper Bob Publications. For those non-members out there listening in, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which, of course, encompasses the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways. Then we do the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the wonderful inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share that sense of adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the experience for those learning about, dreaming of, exploring, and safely cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit and become a member if you're not already one. I'd like to introduce our guest host this week. Barbara Wolf is a Gold Looper, and she and her husband Craig completed their loop just this past May. Barbara and Craig travel or cruise with two labs, and we'll hear from Barbara about the ins and outs of traveling with our furry friends. If anyone has questions or comments during the show, please feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Barbara, welcome, and thank you so much for being on our show this morning.
Well, thank you, Janice, and thank you for inviting me. This really is one of my favorite topics, so I'm happy to talk about it today.
And it's a topic of interest to so many boaters. Barbara and I were chatting before the show, and there's so many of you guys that just won't leave home without your pets. So, Barbara, where do you start?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing that we all have to recognize is the loop is not like an ordinary vacation or weekend cruise with your pets. It's a long trip. For most of us, it's a year or more. And so it raises the question, what do you do with your pets for an entire year? You really have two choices. You either have perhaps family or close friends who are willing to take on your dog or cat for a year, or you bring them with you. In our case, we really didn't have an alternative, and frankly, we wanted to have our dogs with us. It made it feel more like home for us to have them with us on this big adventure. So we brought them with us.
This would be important that your pets feel at home also.
Well, it is, and I think that there's much you can do before you leave home to ensure that your dogs are going to be not only comfortable but safe and healthy on the trip. In our case, we traveled with two Labrador Retrievers, Joey and Bailey. They are both older dogs. When we started on the trip, they were 10 and 8 years old. And fortunately, knock wood, both of them in very good health, but perhaps with different issues than traveling with a younger dog or a smaller dog or a cat. But I think a lot of what we experienced would be comparable to what any pet owner would experience. Starting first with making the boat feel like home. First of all, if you're new to boating or if your pet is new to boating, one of the first things that's probably a wise thing to do is do some short runs, get your pet on board and get them sort of acclimated to the idea of being on a boat, first of all.
I remember Steve and I were at a marina one time, and there was an owner trying to get their dog on board, and that dog was just not going on that boat. So.
Well, and that would be a really unfortunate thing to discover on the day you're planning on leaving for the loop. So,
exactly.
So a little advance orientation is a good idea.
Uh-huh.
We made sure to bring their beds from home. So they had comfortable beds that they were familiar with and from a dog's point of view that smelled like home, you know. Their food. Our dogs happen to eat a brand of dog food that is a national brand widely available, although the particular variety of that brand that they eat is sometimes hard to find. So we stocked up, you know, considered how much storage space we had on the boat and stocked up with, I think, 3 or 4 large bags before we even left. And then as we were provisioning for ourselves as we went along the way, we kept an eye out for when we could replenish our supply so that we never got low on dog food and were forced into, you know, switching them to something they weren't familiar with. I know that some dogs are on very special diets with special kinds of food, and I think the best thing there would be to talk to your veterinarian beforehand to find out whether it might be possible to gradually wean them ahead of time before you leave home to something, a brand that would be more available, or make arrangements to have supplies shipped to various spots along the way. We didn't experience that, so I don't have real good suggestions, but I think the bottom line is most dogs are happier and healthier if they can stay on a consistent diet. We also brought some, we made sure to bring some toys that they liked from home. Our dogs, being retrievers, love to have something in their mouth almost all the time. And so we brought some of their toys from home. Not too many, because limited space on a boat, you don't want to be tripping over dog toys, but they need to have some of their own things. It's also very important, I think, to plan time for daily walks and playtime off the boat. Most dogs crave exercise, and even the largest boats are pretty limited in terms of how much exercise a dog can get on the boat. So we made sure to take walks 3 or 4 times a day, and it was good for us, too.
Did you anchor much, Barbara?
We didn't anchor a lot, primarily because of the dogs. But there are some times on the loop when you have no choice, and there are other times when you just definitely want to anchor out. I'm thinking of the Georgian Bay in Canada, for example. It's so beautiful up there. You really want to take advantage of the opportunity to anchor when you can. So what that means is getting your dog acclimated to going ashore in a dinghy. And what we found with our dogs, and I think most people find with their dogs, is that the dogs actually enjoy the dinghy rides. That really wasn't much of an adjustment.
That's
and I'll talk a little bit more later on about the some specifics of the $64,000 question of pottying.
Yes.
That is a big issue. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Sure.
The other aspect of being comfortable, I guess, is being safe and healthy. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do to plan ahead to make sure our dogs are safe and healthy for the year or so that we're going to be on the loop. We made sure that we had we took with us a year's supply of their heartworm and flea and tick medications so that we didn't have to worry about finding that as we went along. We're fortunate that our dogs aren't on any other regular medications, but many pets are, I know. And so it would be wise, I think, to talk to your veterinarian ahead of time and see if you could get a year's supply or at least 6 months' supply of that medication before you leave. We also asked our veterinarian to help us put together a first aid kit for our dogs before we left.
Oh, that's an excellent idea.
And he was a great help, and he had a lot of good suggestions, and then he supplied us with some things like several doses of antibiotics in case that need should arise. He even gave us a suture kit with suture needles that were pre-threaded and a little pain deadening shot.
Uh-huh.
And he gave us instructions and had us practice how to use it, and it was something that we hoped we would never have to do, and knock wood, we didn't.
Do you think you'd be able to do that?
Well, I think my husband would. I think so. If it comes down to, you know, serious bleeding and you can't get to a veterinarian quickly and it's a choice between, you know, saving your dog or not, yes, I think most of us could probably
manage
it together and do it, yeah. In any event, we felt more comfortable just being prepared for that if the contingency should arise.
Uh-huh.
Life jackets are another safety feature. I will admit that our dogs don't like their life jackets, but if we're out, if we find ourselves in open water on rough seas, rougher than perhaps we had anticipated, I make sure they're in their life jackets because you just never know. And, you know, we're taking care of ourselves and have our own life jackets on. I think it's just reasonable to have your pet in a life jacket as well. A lot of times the issue is thinking about your boat and how to safely keep your pets on board, especially while you're underway. What we decided to do was most of the time when we were underway, our dogs stayed in the salon. Other people have their pets up on the flybridge with them. Whatever you're comfortable with and wherever you feel your pets are going to be secure and feel safe, one of the things we were mindful of was making sure that the dogs wouldn't be underfoot if we were suddenly in a situation where we needed to be taking quick decisions or taking control of the boat under unusual circumstances. So especially while docking or entering a lock, I think it's probably best to just put the dogs behind closed doors for that little bit of time so that they don't jump off the boat prematurely when they see land or get in your way as you're trying to do some close maneuvering. Cats, I think, we didn't travel. We don't have cats. But talking to Looper friends who did travel with cats, it seemed like they were a greater challenge when it came to escaping. Cats tend to be a little sneaky at times, you know, and they have hiding places. You may not always even know where they are on board the boat. We knew of two different loopers who got calls on their radio shortly after leaving port, letting them know that one of their cats was still back on the dock.
Oh, my goodness.
It may be a good thing to add to your departure checklist a nose count.
Yeah.
You know, to make sure everybody's accounted for, and particularly those cats who like to, you know, hide behind the helm or under the bed sheets or whatever. Make sure everybody's there before you leave port.
We have a granddaughter who has her kitten Promise. Promise used to love to ride in cars. And whenever anybody came to visit, that cat would get in that person's car. And so many times they got a phone call that, you know, Promise is with us. Do you want to come pick her up?
She loves
to travel.
I think that's how a lot of cats are. They're adventurous, and it seems to me sometimes it's almost a game. You know, how can I how can I hide from these people?
How can I put some excitement here? What do you do? What do you recommend to keep track of your pet in case they do wander off?
Well, that's a great question because it could happen.
Yeah.
First of all, we had different name tags made for our dogs before we left home. Their usual name tags had their name and our address and phone number on it. Well, our home address is of no use when we're traveling on a boat, you know, all around Eastern North America. And typically, if someone found a wandering dog or cat, their first thought would not necessarily be that this animal came from a boat.
Uh-huh.
So we went up to PetSmart or any local pet store and had new tags made that had the dog's name on it, both of our cell phones, and then we had on board boat blue heron, so that if anybody were to find one of our dogs, the tag would tell them this dog most likely escaped from a boat, and maybe the marina would be the first place to go looking. The second thing is, and this is becoming much more common for dogs, even dogs who don't travel by boat, and that is to get an ID chip placed under their skin. It's a very simple procedure. Your veterinarian can do it for you. It's just like getting a little shot. It's a tiny little chip that identifies them with a specific number. They get another tag to put on their collar that has a phone number that a person could call. If they find your dog, they call this phone number, and the the organization would give instructions as to what to do. You could take a dog to any kennel, for example. Almost any veterinarian will have a little handheld reader that they can scan over the dog's neck or the cat's neck, and it will come up with a number, an ID number, and the organizing company can then contact the owners and let you know that your dog has been found and where it is. It's I think it costs about $50 to do that, and I think it's an investment well worth the money. Not only that, if there's any question when a dog is found whether that's really your dog or not, a lot of yellow Labradors look an awful lot alike. But this chip would identify our dog as being our dog.
I think we're going to just interrupt for a minute, Barbara, and break for a commercial.
All right.
We are going to hear from our sponsor, Pink Shell Marina.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services, 3 pools, and 2 restaurants, Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, 3 pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, Barbara, as I mentioned, Steve and I saw one time this owner desperately trying to get their dog on board. What do you do to get your dogs off and on safely?
Well, that was a really big consideration for us, frankly, when we were shopping for our Loop boat. That was one of the things that we looked at. In addition to everything else that we were considering about boats, we always looked at how easy would it be for our dogs to get on and off this boat and to move around the boat once they were on board. Now, of course, if you already have your boat, you don't have that luxury of picking a boat that's going to be easier for your dogs, but there are things you can do, I think, to make it easier for both of you. If you have a small dog or a cat, it really isn't an issue. You can just pick them up and take them wherever you want them to go. But if you have large dogs like we have, especially older dogs that may not be quite as agile as they used to be, it's important to think about something like a ramp, perhaps. We bought a telescoping ramp so that it would fold up into a small enough size to easily stow on board when we weren't using it, but it stretched out to, I think, 8 feet long. So it could easily go from the side of our boat down to the pier. Our dogs, weigh upwards of 70 pounds, and for our sake, as well as theirs, we simply could not be lifting them on and off the boat 3 or 4 times a day. They had to be able to get on the boat themselves. And with this ramp, it was really very easy for them to do that. Now, you may have to, depending on your boat, and the kind of ramp you get, you may have to do a little jerry-rigging to figure out a way for securing the ramp to the boat so it doesn't slip off while your dogs are going up and down. But we figured out a way to do that, and it worked extremely, extremely well for us. They were able to get on and off practically everywhere we went. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that every marina and their docks are going to be slightly different. And some docks are easier to use with the ramp than others. What we generally did when we were calling ahead to make reservations at a marina, we would explain our situation, tell them we had these 2 dogs and that we had a ramp that came off approximately midships off the side of the boat, and that it worked best if we could be placed at either a wide pier or maybe a lay-along dock. A short, narrow pier didn't necessarily always work too well. It would be sort of a slide right down into the water, which wasn't the point. But what we found was that with a little advance notice like that, most of the marinas were very happy to work with us, very accommodating, and in practically every single case were able to put us someplace where we could use our ramp or otherwise get our dogs on and off safely.
So you said there could be some places with fixed piers that some tend to be narrow and older. That could be problems.
Yeah, and but, you know, we generally found a way, if we explained our situation, they normally could find one of their docks, one of their piers that would work well for us. I can only think of one marina on the entire loop where it just didn't work, and we got out of there as quickly as we could. But for the most part, they were more than happy to work with us to make it safe for our dogs. Another thing to think about is how you're going to get your dog into the dinghy. If you are going to anchor and take your dog to shore by dinghy, they somehow are going to have to probably get down to the swim platform and from there into the dinghy. And some boats are more accommodating of that than others. We had steps from our main deck down to the swim platform, and then we had a fairly wide swim platform, so it was pretty easy for our dogs to do. With a different configuration of boat, you might have to do some thinking about that. Yeah, because if you're going to anchor out, your dog needs to be able to get into the dinghy. No question about that.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, another...
down to our swim platform. I can't imagine the dog doing it on those ends.
You know, I think we were at our very first looper rendezvous before we ever did the loop. We saw a boat in the marina that had a Labrador on board, and I was talking to them about how they got their dogs off the boat because they had one of those sort of aft cabin motor yachts where the back of the boat comes straight up off of the swim platform with maybe a ladder, but you know,
uh-huh.
no steps. And I asked how they got their dog on and off, and they said they hooked it to a harness and used the dinghy davit to swing the dog over to the pier. I said, well, how does your dog like that? And they said, well, she really doesn't like it at all. No kidding. So
oh,
I don't think that's the best solution. Anyway, another question that I think that I certainly had before we left, and I think a lot of loopers do, is how do you handle taking your pets in and out of the country? Because
that's a huge consideration.
It is. And I can't speak about the Bahamas. We have never taken our dogs to the Bahamas, so I don't know how that works. But certainly in and out of Canada turned out to be far easier than I feared it might be. Really, all we needed, both to satisfy Canadian customs and then also U.S. customs coming back in, was, you know, the official record of shots and vaccinations from our veterinarian. That was really what they were concerned about. And so we had several copies of that on board, and we showed it to customs, and there were no questions asked. So that turned out not really to be a problem. Now, I know of last year when we were doing the loop, there was a boat that had a bird on board. And I know that they experienced something a little bit different when they came back into the United States. Rather than being able to just check in easily at Drummond Island the way most of us did, they were required to go to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, to go to a bigger, more official customs office there to clear their bird. I don't know exactly what happened when they got to Sault Ste. Marie, what questions were asked, what all was involved. They were able to, you know, eventually come into the States and bring their bird with them. But
uh-huh.
I would suggest that anybody who's traveling with what might be considered an exotic animal might uh-huh. want to do a little research into that and find out exactly what's going to be required to bring your bird back into the United States.
Okay. Now, again, we were going to get, you mentioned this earlier on, the big question, potty time.
Yeah, it is a big question. And of course for cats it's pretty easy. You know, the litter box was made for situations like this.
Uh-huh.
But dogs are a different issue. Actually, when all is said and done, for us it turned out to be not a big problem. we found that generally speaking, we did not have long travel days most of the time. You know, most of the time we would leave in the morning and we'd arrive at our destination sometimes in mid-afternoon. So we were only gone, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours at the most.
Uh-huh.
And our dogs could easily wait that long. So we would make sure they had a walk right before we left in the morning. And as soon as the boat was tied up in the afternoon, that was the first thing we did was take them for another walk.
Uh-huh.
As I mentioned before, we typically stayed in marinas, because that just made it so much easier for with the dogs to be in a marina and be able to take them for walks. On those longer days, when you are going to be out longer, there's always the option of dropping an anchor somewhere and taking a dinghy to shore. And if you're anchoring out somewhere, as I mentioned before, you're going to have to take your dog to shore in the dinghy. So you might want to practice with that a little bit, get your dogs used to getting in and out of a dinghy. But most dogs seem to, once they get used to it, they enjoy dinghy rides. One thing you have to be careful of, though, is where you are taking your dogs to shore. Throughout much of Canada, where we did a fair amount of anchoring, the shoreline was government owned. It was, you know, provincial parks or national parks or whatever. And so it really wasn't a problem. It was public land, and we could, you know, as long as we found a safe place to take the dinghy in, we could take our dogs to shore. But there are a lot of other places, you know, along the lovely rivers of Chesapeake Bay, for example, tend to be lined with homes. And I just really don't think it's good practice to take your dinghy to shore and take your dog onto somebody's front lawn and to do their potty. So that was one of the reasons we didn't anchor in a lot of places, is because there just simply wasn't a good place to take the dogs to shore. The other extreme is places like the Ten Tom Waterway, where the shoreline, there really isn't much of a shoreline. I mean, there aren't good places to take the dinghy ashore and let the dogs get out. The rivers can be very muddy. If you take your dog to shore, you just have to reconcile yourself to the fact that your dog, your boat, you, the dinghy, everything's going to be kind of muddy. But, you know, that's what hoses are for.
Uh-huh.
You can make it work. We had absolutely no luck trying to convince our dogs to potty on the boat. Maybe because they were older, they were very fixed in their ways, they had clear ideas about what was appropriate and what wasn't. I did talk to some people who were successful in training their dogs to potty on board on, you know, a piece of AstroTurf or even real sod. And some people are comfortable just letting their dogs potty on the deck and hosing it off afterwards. That's going to depend very much on your dog and you, whether that's going to work or not. Most dog owners that I talked to found that their dogs just could not be persuaded to go on board the boat. So you have to think about onshore options.
Yes.
I think a real important point related to this is if you take your dogs to shore for their potty business, please make sure you clean up after them. We found that all of the marinas where we went along the loop were very pet friendly and greeted our dogs warmly and passed out dog biscuits and all this. But all that could change if a few inconsiderate pet owners get a little careless about cleaning up after their pets. So just a reminder to all of us that if we want our dogs to be welcome, we need to do our part as well.
Very good. So I guess the conclusion is traveling with pets is very doable.
It is doable, and not only is it doable, it can be really enjoyable. For us, it made it feel like home. They're our family, so having them with us was fun. And they were happier being with us than they would have been if we had left them behind with somebody, I think. And there's an added bonus, and that is that I can't tell you how many nice people we met along the way who were introduced to us by our dogs. Exactly. So we found traveling the loop with our two dogs to be certainly more complicated than if we had gone without them, but absolutely worth it.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara. You've been very, very informative. If anyone's interested in further information, right now the plan is for Barbara to be at our rendezvous in the spring in Norfolk and do a little bit of an expanded version of Traveling with Pets. But again, thank you, Barbara, and
well,
safe cruising,
Janet.
And have good times at home for the holidays.
Well, thank you, and you as well.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, all.